We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello, welcome to the Papers podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. In this series, we speak to authors of papers published in one of ACAM's three journals. These are the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, commonly known as JCPP, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health, known as CAM, and JCPP Advances. Today I'm interviewing Dr. Jessica Hamilton, Assistant Professor in the Department of Psychology, Rutgers University, New Jersey, USA. Jessica is the first author of the paper, Positive and Negative Social Media Experiences and Proximal Risk for Suicidal Ideation in Adolescents, recently published in the JCPP. This paper will be the focus of today's podcast. If you're a fan of our Papers podcast series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform, let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. All listeners to this, and indeed any of the ACAM podcasts, are eligible for a free CPD certificate. Do please visit acamlearn.org for details of this, together with information on how you can access hundreds of hours of free talks, lectures, interviews, all of which you can also get free CPD certificates for. The URL is www.acamhlearn.org. Jessica, welcome. Nice to meet you. Can you start with an introduction about who you are and what you do?
Hi, thank you so much for having me today. So I am a professor at Rutgers University in the clinical psychology area, where I direct the Hamilton Lab. I study risk and protective factors for suicidal thoughts and behaviors in teens, with a focus on social media and sleep. So as part of my research and lab mission, we also participate in community engagement events and work directly with teens on our youth advisory board to both inform our research and also to promote teen mental health more broadly.
Thank you very much. Now, social media has received considerable attention as a potential risk factor for adolescent suicide. Before we go into the detail of the paper, can you set the scene for us? What are the perceived narratives around social media and suicide risk?
Social media is a hot topic right now, with most of the narratives driven by the media and policymakers, and even some researchers. They suggest that social media is bad. It is harmful and damaging for youth, and that we need to take steps to both remove it from teens and prevent them from having it. But there are several problems with this narrative, with the most important being that the data and research just don't support it, especially when it comes to suicide risk. There have been few studies that actually look at these relationships prospectively, meaning that they typically ask teens to report about social media and suicidal thoughts and behaviors at one time, and then they look at how they're related. But we know that social media use changes on a day-to-day basis, and how teens experience social media does not look the same every day. So my research uses more rigorous methods to look at these relationships day-to-day to help us better understand how social media and suicide risk may be related.
Great. So we're going to look at this in the context of your JCPP paper. This is Positive and Negative Social Media Experiences and Proximal Risk for Suicidal Ideation in Adolescents. Jessica, what did you look at in the paper and why?
So most research on social media and suicide risk focuses on screen time, or how much teens are using social media. But a meta-analysis, or a large review of existing studies conducted by Jackie Nisi and colleagues, found that experiences that teens have on social media, for example, cyberbullying and seeing self-harm content, often matter more in how it affects them. So this study examined negative experiences more generally, such as having, you know, feeling bad about oneself or having negative interactions with others, like fights or arguments, and understanding how that may be related with teens' daily suicidal thoughts. But we also wanted to move beyond just a focus on the negative to better understand how positive experiences that someone has on social media, such as feeling more connected to others or having positive interactions, may actually protect against having suicidal thoughts in teens. And despite the narrative of social media and suicide risk, this study is the first to examine the daily associations of social media and suicidal thoughts in teens.
Can you tell us a little about the methodology that you used?
So we recruited teens aged 14 to 17 years old from the United States and recruited them from social media to participate in our ecological momentary assessment study. So basically, we sent them brief surveys 3 times a day for 2 months. And in these surveys, we asked about their experiences on social media and whether they had suicidal thoughts that day, among other questions. And all of our procedures were conducted remotely, which allowed us to have teens from all across the United States participate. And we did end up having a highly diverse sample in terms of race, ethnicity, gender identity, and sexual orientation. Also, our analyses focused on the individual. So this allows us to look at how higher or lower levels of social media experiences on any given day compared to how much a person typically experienced over the study period, and look at whether ultimately having higher or lower levels compared to their usual amount was related to suicidal thoughts at an individual level.
Jessica, can you elaborate further on the inclusion of young people in the process?
For our research and any research that's focusing on social media or even mental health more broadly in teens, we really need to be bringing teens into the conversation. They are central to our understanding of what is happening that is increasing the teen mental health crisis. They're also central in helping us find the problems. So, in my work, I really prioritize including young people in the design of our studies, helping provide feedback on the measures that we're using and the actual items we're using, especially when it comes to social media, because teens really are the experts in how they're using social media. But it's oftentimes in research, we do our research and then we leave it there, right? We never take steps that move beyond the academic journals, which is why I appreciate this podcast, to be able to then disseminate it more broadly, especially with young people. So that's a broader goal of our work. And we work with the RISE team to be able to do that and to hopefully help give them the information to both the teens more broadly in their communities and schools so that we can really make a difference.
Brilliant. That sounds so important. So, what did you find? What would you like to highlight?
Our study points really to a more complex and nuanced relationship in which social media confers both risk for suicidal thoughts and protects against suicidal thoughts on a daily basis in teens. So our findings suggest that there are proximal impacts of both negative and positive social media experiences on the likelihood of having thoughts of suicide that day. But there was no effect of suicidal thoughts on next day positive or negative social media experiences. So said another way, on days when teens were more likely or had more frequent negative experiences on social media than they typically did, they were more likely to report having suicidal thoughts that day. However, more positive experiences on social media than usual were associated with a lower likelihood of having suicidal thoughts on that day.
So this focus on screen time has perhaps been all wrong, really. So if I've understood it correctly from reading the paper, your research suggests that screen time itself has no significant effect on suicidal ideation. So I want to check that's correct, but also whether you found that surprising. And given that finding, is too much attention placed upon screen time?
Yes, you're correct in that we did not find a significant effect of social media screen time on suicidal thoughts that day. And this finding may be surprising to most people given the narrative of social media. But when you think about it, it makes sense that what happens on social media is a more important factor for suicide risk than just how much you use it. So, based on our research and existing research to date, I would say there is too much emphasis placed on social media screen time. And our study suggests that the experiences that teens are having on social media and how they engage with it matters more in their suicide risk and mental health. And I do think that this focus on screen time does a disservice to teens. It prevents meaningful conversations about social media with teens and actually may get in the way of working with industry and social media companies to improve their platforms to promote its potential benefits and protective aspects.
Can you elaborate a bit further on this finding that teens are more likely to report suicidal ideation following negative experiences on social media and less likely following positive experiences? Just to dig a bit deeper.
Yeah, so we did some exploratory analysis to really figure out, of the different experiences that we looked at, was there one negative experience or positive experience that were really driving those effects? And we found that, in fact, social comparison or feeling worse about oneself compared to others was the main negative experience on social media that was associated with having suicidal thoughts that day. Unfortunately, we don't know from this one item what specific area they might have been comparing themselves or feeling worse about themselves in. So it really could be a number of domains, such as achievement or appearance, but still suggests that social comparison may be a key experience linked with suicidal thoughts. Similarly, feeling more supported or encouraged by others on social media was the main driving positive experience that protected against suicidal thoughts.
Jessica, how do you envisage your research informing CAM professionals in terms of interventions and prevention of suicide in children and young people?
Often, young people don't feel comfortable talking about social media with adults, in
Uh-huh.
part because they think adults are going to villainize social media and try to take it away or limit it. And for many teens, social media has become central to how they socialize, especially since COVID-19, when social media was the only way to socially connect for many young people. So I hope this study helps clinicians recognize that social media can also be positive for teens. And in fact, feeling more supported or connected can help protect against suicidal thoughts. And at the same time, clinicians can ask teens openly about their experiences on social media, be open to learning from teens directly, and help them recognize when social media can be both helpful and harmful.
Recommendations emerge from your research for policymakers and other stakeholders.
Instead of focusing solely on taking away social media from teens or limiting their screen time, stakeholders should consider policies, social media features, or programs that help facilitate social support, encouragement, and connectedness, while reducing features that increase social comparison and other negative social media experiences. Policymakers and other stakeholders should really move beyond social media screen time if the goal is to reduce suicide risk and promote adolescent mental health and well-being.
Thank you. Jessica, is there anything else in the paper that you would like to highlight?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I run the Hamilton Lab at Rutgers University, and I work with an amazing team. So I want to highlight that my lab played an essential role in making this research happen. But I also want to acknowledge that several members of our Youth Advisory Board, the RISE team, provided feedback on this paper to help us interpret the findings and ensure it was accessible and understandable to young people who might read it as well. We were also continuing to work with them to create infographics and social media posts summarizing the findings in addition to our other work. And to me, it's really essential that we focus on disseminating research to the people that we ultimately aim to target, such as young people.
Let's focus on your other work. Are you planning any follow-up to the research, or is there anything else in the pipeline that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, so while this study sheds light on broader emotional experiences teens may have on social media, we're really interested in learning more about the specific types of events and experiences that are related to suicidal thinking and better understanding who may be most at risk and when. Specifically, we have an ongoing study focusing on violence exposure on social media and suicide risk, particularly gun violence in the United States. As you know, that is a major problem, as well as how teens are engaging with social media to support their identity development, particularly for youth who hold minoritized identities and ultimately seek support online for mental health. So really diving in deeper to better understand how social media, right, might be harmful for teens and what we can do about it, but then also how it might be beneficial and really promote their mental health as well.
Finally, what is your take-home message for our listeners?
When it comes to suicide risk, teens' experiences on social media are more important than how much teens are using social media. And while more negative experiences can confer risk for suicidal thoughts, social media also has benefits, and positive experiences on social media can protect against suicidal thinking in teens. Moving beyond a focus on social media screen time is essential if we really want to reduce teen suicide risk and promote their mental health.
Jessica, thank you ever so much. For more details on Dr. Jessica Hamilton, please visit acamlearn.org. The URL is www.acamhlearn.org. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoy the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.